Your name, please?
My name is Dorothy Cotton.
And your occupation and position?
I'm the editor of Parents Magazine.
Mrs. Cotton, how good a job are parents doing in this new nuclear age?
My viewpoint is that parents are doing a rather good job. They're trying to do a better job all the time.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton, who will reveal to you what she holds to be the responsibilities of her position in life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton, editor of Parents Magazine and author of the book, Teaching Your Child Right from Wrong. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton. What are some of the questions that you find parents are asking today?
Well, all parents, it seems to me, are asking one question no matter what the age of their children is. What's their education going to be like? I think they are more concerned these days than ever before with the quality of education. It surprises me that even parents of a 2-year-old are worrying very hard now about the quality of the schools that the child will go to in a few years. I'm not talking about this other emphasis about will he get into the right college. I'm talking about the quality of education all the way through the line. It's a tremendous concern of parents.
Do the parents, in your estimation, have a real good understanding of what education is for, what it's supposed to do for the child or to the child?
I think there's a muddy feeling about not only our parents, as you say, but everyone about education. I get a rather sad feeling sometimes that a great many people think of it as a passport to a better job. Well, surely that may be a good secondary gain, but in my viewpoint, it's not the primary purpose. I think it's perfectly desirable, too, to be able to say, you will do better in life vocationally. You will have a job that's more satisfying to you, that will provide you with a kind of life that eventually will provide your children with better lives. There's nothing in my view that's wrong with that statement. On the other hand, to me, it's a little too narrow. One ought to look at the whole person, just as we look at the whole person in illness or disease. One wants to look at a total life.
I've sometimes heard young people say that the educational requirements today are like a steamroller behind them, that the pressure's almost too much. Do you feel that there's anything to this?
Well, both personally and professionally, I do. Right now, I have a young son who's a senior at Andover. Johnny's naturally a very nice boy and a perfectly good student. But this last year, he and every one of his classmates have spent almost 2 months worrying about whether they're going to get into college in enormous proportion, out of proportion, really, to the joy of being a senior and the joy of learning this last year. And this is not atypical. I think the pressures all over are just even so much more this year than last. When you talk to headmasters in schools and deans of admission in colleges, you're absolutely appalled. I really take my hat off to these kids. I don't know how they stand their senior years in these days.
Well, now, where does the pressure come from? Does it come from the schools?
No, I think the pressure is pretty much self-imposed on the kids. The kids want very much to get into, say, a particular college. They all say, well, we think our marks are pretty good. We want to go in, even with the wisest parents who say, look, you know you're bright and we know you're nice and you don't have to go to this particular college as opposed to that. These children at, 17 are pretty bright, and they know themselves that they may well get a better education. They may well, even for such a frivolously sounding reason, as like to go where their friends are going, which is, not a bad idea, everything else being equal. The pressures on them are so great that they really don't enjoy their senior years anyplace.
It's strange, really, that with so many material advantages and progress that we've made, that the inner peace and sense of fulfillment seems to be challenged so much these days. I wonder if there's any reason behind it.
Well, I think for those people who probably thought material advantages alone were all that made people happy, this would come as a surprise. But I have a feeling you and I both know that this is not the only thing that leads one to a happy, fulfilled life.
Is there any kind of authority that anyone can go to, as a parent or as a child, to find out how to fulfill their role a little better?
I think the whole question of role, identity, if you will, is the difficult one. You know, in the old days, not that I'm especially nostalgic for them, but there was a terribly carefully defined role. Daddy went out and did certain kinds of things. There were grandparents and aunts and uncles around, all of whom had various roles, and they were clear-cut, and everybody knew what he was about. He may not always have done as well as we'd like him to, but there was no diffusion of roles. Now there is, and I think the best authority can only be oneself in relation to the kind of person you know you are and want to be, and then in relation to your child. In other words, if you know, if you have a viewpoint that makes a good deal of sense to you, you can try, and you have an obligation to try, to pass it on to your children, not only in what you tell them, but in the kind of life you lead. Because surely actions always speak as loudly as, if not more loudly, than what you're going to say to them.
Do you think that parents today are any more hypocritical than they ever were?
I don't know what parents really feel, whether they feel are being hypocritical, whether they themselves don't know when they say, look, I don't want you ever to take a drink, and they themselves have a cocktail party. I don't know that that's hypocritical so much as it's saying, well, you're not ready for it yet. I think this is difficult. I think if you truly believe that the alcohol is terrible, then you have no problem. But if you have a nice middle road, as most of us do, that it's a perfectly fine thing to have a little of now and then it becomes a little fuzzy. You know, it's the same as is true with sex. It's something that we say to youngsters, this is absolutely a terribly wrong thing to do. And then, you know, we allow the advertising agencies, we allow a variety of mass media to whip them up into a frenzy about this. This is a very difficult role for parents. They, you know, they're not the only ones who are molding their children. They're by far the most important influences, but they're surely not the only influences. So it isn't a question really of being hypocritical. It's a question, I think, of honest confusion.
Do you think that there's any difficulty in it? People accepting responsibility today?
I think by and large most parents are responsible parents and want very hard to do a good job. I sometimes think we get off on this kind of abysmal feeling about parenthood and its awesome responsibilities. Indeed, they're awesome, but I don't know any greater joys than the joys of being a parent. And I think people know this.
What are the great strengths, in your estimation, which a family can have to help its children to grow and to mature?
Well, I think the greatest strength of all is love. And I think when children see mother and father who love each other and who love their children, they can't help but being affected by the great strength that love is. And by love, I don't mean the all-permissive, all-everything-is-right, but the love that means I'm concerned with you. I love you so much that I will not permit you to do something that's harmful. In this kind of atmosphere, parents and families and children flourish.
Do you find that there's anything can be done to help parents and children to communicate with one another better?
Yes, I think there is. I think the kinds of discussion groups, for example, the kinds of articles where parents read about other parents in their own having difficulties in their own communicating makes them say to themselves, you know, we're not unique. All kinds of people have trouble. Other families sometimes have trouble talking to each other. Let's try it this way. I do think that we sometimes forget one thing, and that's sometimes unpopular, but I would like to say it. I think there's a point in everyone's life, in every adolescent's life, that he needs an adult ally, and that adult ally not necessarily, and preferably not his parents. Because in the old days, as I said before, the aunts and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers, we always had adult allies. And there's a point in development when you are so close that it's much better to be able to talk out your problems with someone whom you respect and some other adult. Parents get nervous when this happens, and I would just like to tell them that it's a mark of respect rather than disrespect to them if their child has an adult ally to confide in. It's hard to you know, a parent has always been the recipient of little confidences when a child was young. He then suddenly feels, goodness, have I made an error here? What have I done wrong? But it's only normal.
How important in your own personal estimation is some kind of spiritual training and religious growth in the part of children?
Well, I think it's tremendously important. I don't think it can be imposed on children if the adults in the family themselves aren't fully participants, and that if this is not part of a total family life, I don't think that it's an easy thing, an effective thing, say, to send children off to Sunday school and not yourself be involved. This, to my mind, brings us back to the, in quotes, hypocritical. You know, children know very well what you think and what you feel, and you can't ask them truly to believe if they don't see evidences of it in you yourself.
Do you think that this is a heritage which children do need?
Yes, I think so. I think it's the rare person who, and a strong person too, who doesn't need it. I think that it's probably true that there are people who don't. And I think that takes another kind of strength. But I think for most of us, we all do. We all need it.
What are the satisfactions you get from your work?
Well, I get the satisfactions of helping, I think, probably more than anything else. I get the satisfactions of trying to do an important job in a responsible way. We would never write any article or publish anything that would damage parents, that would cause them anxieties, that would be at all irresponsible. We know, you know, for the sake of a journalistic piece, which might interest a lot of people, we would just absolutely never do a thing like that. So the satisfactions that come from publishing the kinds of articles that parents write in and say, you know, you've really helped me over this. This is something that I understand now that I didn't understand before. These satisfactions are infinite.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
Thank you.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Mrs. Dorothy White Cotton, editor of Parents Magazine and author of the book, Teaching Your Child Right from Wrong.